27. 4 tons of meat, delivered fresh to the very centre of the village, was good value. The price paid was not exorbitant, Mtopo decided. 3 huts could be rebuilt in 2 days, and only 4 acres of millet had been destroyed. Furthermore, of the women who had died, one was very old, and the other, although she was almost 18 years old, had never conceived. There was good reason, therefore, to believe she was barren, and not a great loss to the community. Warmed by the early sun, Mtopo was a satisfied man. With Sebastian beside him, he sat on his carved wooden stool and grinned widely as he watched the fun. 2 dozen of his men, armed with short-handled, long-bladed spears, and divested of all clothing, were to act as butchers. They were gathered beside the mountainous carcass, arguing good-naturedly as they waited for Muhammad and his 4 assistants to remove the tusks. Around them, in a wider circle, waited the rest of the villagers, and while they waited, they sang. A drum hammered out the rhythm for them, and the clap of hands and the stamp of feet confirmed it. The masculine bass was a foundation from which the clear, sweet soprano of the women soared and sank, and soared again. Beneath Muhammad's patiently chipping axe, first the one tusk and then the other were freed from the bone that held them, and, with 2 askari staggering under the weight, they were carried to where Sebastian sat, and laid with ceremony at his feet. It occurred to Sebastian that 4 big tusks, carried home to Lalapanzi, might in some measure mollify Flynn O'Flynn. They would at least cover the costs of the expedition. The thought cheered him up considerably, and he turned to Mtopo. "Old one, you may take the meat." "Lord!" In gratitude, Mtopo clapped his hands at the level of his chest, and then turned to squawk an order at the waiting butchers. A roar of excitement and meat hunger went up from the crowd as one of them scrambled up onto the carcass and drove his spear through the thick grey hide behind the last rib. Then, walking backwards, he drew it down towards the haunch, and the razor steel sliced deep. 2 others made the lateral incisions, opening a square flap, a trapdoor into the belly cavity from which the fat coils of the viscera bulged, pink and blue and glossy wet in the early morning sunlight. In mounting eagerness, 4 others dragged from the square hole the contents of the belly, and then, while Sebastian stared in disbelief, they wriggled into the opening and disappeared. He could hear their muffled shouts reverberating within the carcass, as they competed for the prize of the liver. Within minutes, one of them reappeared, clutching against his chest, a slippery lump of tattered purple liver. Like a maggot, he came squirming out of the wound, painted over all with a thick coating of dark red blood. It had matted in the woolly cap of his hair, and turning his face into a gruesome mask from which only his teeth and his eyes gleamed white. Carrying the mutilated liver, laughing in triumph, he ran through the crowd to where Sebastian sat. The offering embarrassed Sebastian. More than that, it made his gorge rise, and he felt his stomach heave as it was thrust almost into his lap.
"Eat," Mtopo encouraged him. "It will make you strong. It will sharpen the spear of your manhood. 10, 20 women will not tire of you."
It was Mtopo's opinion that Sebastian needed this type of tonic. He had heard from his brother Sali and from the chiefs along the river about Sebastian's lack of initiative.
"Like this,"
Mtopo cut a hunk of the liver and popped it into his mouth. He chewed heartily, and the juice wet his lips as he grinned in appreciation.
"Very good."
He thrust a piece into Sebastian's face.
"Eat."
"No." Sebastian's gorge pressed heavily on the back of his throat, and he stood up hurriedly. Mtopo shrugged and ate it himself. Then he shouted to the butchers to continue their work. In a miraculously short space of time, the huge carcass disintegrated under the blades of the spears and machetes. It was a labour in which the entire village joined. With a dozen strokes of the knife, a butcher would free a large hunk of flesh and throw it down to one of the women. She, in turn, would hack it into smaller pieces and pass these on to the children. Squealing with excitement, they would run with them to the hastily erected drying racks, deposit them, and come scampering back for more. Sebastian had recovered from his initial revulsion, and now he laughed to see how every mouth was busy, chewing as they worked, and yet at the same time managing to emit a surprising volume of noise. Among the milling feet, the dogs snarled and yipped and gulped the scraps. Without interrupting their feeding, they dodged the casual kicks and blows that were aimed at them. Into the midst of this cosy domestic scene entered Commissioner Hermann Fleischer with 10 armed askari.